It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the book of Ephesians, we're given several indications as to how we are to behave ourselves as Christians, what we are to do as Christians. And all through the Word of God, we're given admonitions that we are to not walk as those who are in darkness, in other words, those who are unsaved, but we as Christians, we are to be Christians. We are to do the things of God. And we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to start reading once again with verse 10. Now, we've looked at verse 10, but verse 11 really ties in with that, and it ties in with several of the other verses that we've read in chapter 5. Verse 10 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, in verse 9, it talks about the Holy Spirit, and it talks about how he's all righteous. And once again, as we look at that, in verse 9, we realize that the Holy Spirit came to do certain things for us. And as he came, we are able to walk the way that the Holy Spirit is giving us instruction. In fact, verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 5 says for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let me remind you that that is His fruit. And as the saved person gives the Holy Spirit free reign in his or her life, then the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Spirit is going to lead and guide that person who knows God, knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're going to be able to walk in the way that He wants us to walk once we're listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided by Him. And as we look on and we look down in verse 10, and we've read that, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit proves these things. The Holy Spirit proves what is acceptable unto the Lord. And verse 11 goes on to say, we're not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And as we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, in conjunction with other scripture that connects one or more of the preceding verses, we start seeing there's a pattern here that the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide us into all truth. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, we read these verses before, but I want to read them again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2 says, and. There's a conjunction once again, just like in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. And tells us what we what to do as children of God. And verses 3 through 5 tells us what not to do. Verse 6 warns us of deceivers. And verse 7 tells us we are not to join in with deceivers or those who are ungodly, as described by their actions found in verses 3 through 5. Now, you go to the book of Jude and you'll see what's called filthy dreamers. This would be somewhat in connection with this. We're not to listen to the filthy dreamers, the false prophets, the ungodly people of this world, the deceivers. Now, there are deceivers who enter into local churches and they try to lead the people astray. They get away with it for a while, but then if the shepherd is doing his work, and that is the pastor of the local work, if he's doing his work as the under-shepherd of the Lord, then those false deceivers and those false prophets, those filthy dreamers, according to the book of Jude, those people will be found out and they will be dealt with accordingly, according to the Word of God. But notice that in verse 1 it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And verses 6 through 8 reads, let no man deceive you. In other words, dear children, don't let any man deceive you. Children of God, don't let anybody deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, Proverbs has some things to say about darkness. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. You remember that Solomon, he was told by God, ask whatever you want, and it's going to be yours. Well, Solomon asked for wisdom. And we too need to ask for wisdom of God. And the only way we get the wisdom of God, first of all, is to know God as our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is our Savior, and then we can ask God, please, God, give me the wisdom that I need in this life to serve you better. Well, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 through 13 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, we looked at that word froward last time, and this person is one who speaks froward things. And that person is a dishonest, contrary, unmanageable, a person who's difficult to deal with an evil disposition. Now, this person would try to confuse people. And when it would come to doing what is right, this person would advise people that it's all right to do things contrary to what God says in His Word. In other words, we can't trust the Word of God. That's what a person like this is saying. If we are not living by the Word, through the Word, and doing as the Word says, then we're listening to the things of the world, the things of the devil. Well, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Well, that person is trying to lead a safe person astray is that wicked person. And that person who's trying to lead the unsaved to keep them from getting saved, that is the wicked person. That is the person who is in darkness. That is the unsaved person. Now, the wicked are the unsaved, and oh, they may do good things, but the Bible says this about them in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, you see, those people of the darkness, they're not of God, they're of the devil. Proverbs 4:19 once again says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They can't lead people into the light because they're in darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't even know what's going on in their own lives, except the fact is they want to do evil. And this is of the devil. Now, the reason these people have the devil for their spiritual father, and that's what the Bible teaches, they've never been born again. Now, the God in heaven is not the father of the wicked. There's only one way for the God of heaven to be anybody's father, and that is to be born from above, from God. Now, we get back to verse 11 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, and it says, and this is verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're not to have any fellowship with these people. We're not to, that doesn't mean we're not to be there to help them to know Jesus as Savior. That doesn't mean that we can't witness to them. But you see, when we get down to the facts, the only thing we have in common with the people who are unsaved is that they are human just like we are. And something else, they need salvation that we have received. So therefore, we do not stay away from them as such. We give them the plan of salvation. But we're not buddy-buddy with them. We don't partake of their ungodliness. Verse 11 tells us we are not to have fellowship with the worthless works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are not to approve of or condone the actions or lifestyles of those who are in darkness. The unsaved, that is, and those we've read about in preceding verses. And it goes even further by teaching us we are not to be involved with the works of darkness, but to call it like it is, sin. We're not to back away from calling it like it is. When we speak, we need to speak the word of God and call sin, sin. Now, you and I, as saved people, are to stand against the works of darkness. We are not to compromise our Christian testimony by joining in sinful activities with those who are openly sinning. We are also to warn God's people when we see them in open sin. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Well, you might say this, that Isaiah 58, verse 1, is talking about the Jewish people, and you would be right. But Isaiah also says, "My people." Once again, you might say the verse is speaking to the Jewish people. Again, you would be right. Now, if a person has been saved on their way to heaven, then the Bible is plain. They are the children of God and need to be warned of transgressions. So not only is Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1 speaking of Jewish people, the verse also speaks of saved on their way to heaven people. Have you ever been saved, born again, on your way to heaven? If you answered yes to what I just asked, then you are a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." How do you know you're saved? Because you've asked Jesus Christ to save you. How do you know you're saved? The Spirit of God is indwelling you. How do you know you're saved? You have the Holy Comforter with you. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And he said, "And if I go away, and if I go not away, I will not be able to send, the Father will not be able to send the Comforter." But we know that Jesus did send the Comforter. God sent the Comforter in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and we don't have to fear anything because we are saved. We're on our way to heaven. We know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is my elder brother. He is my Savior, and He's yours too if you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, when we think of the unsaved, we were once part of that unsaved crowd. These people continue to walk in darkness. You and I, who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, are not to partake of so-called social activities that are nothing more than an affront and outrage and disrespect to God. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not on your way to heaven, you need to be on your way to heaven. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But thank God it goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And Romans 10, 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ask Jesus to come into your heart today. Know you're a sinner. Admit that. And ask Jesus to save you right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.